Okay. We have the Parshas Yisroi, and of course the main part of Parshas Yisroi is a lot to do with Matan Torah, but there are things before as well. The first one, it says, Yisro said, I now know that Hashem is great amongst the gods, kibadova shezod alem, because his retribution was in those areas that they specifically sinned. So Rabbi Bechai explains that, the Sforna explains that he saved them with exactly the same things that they had done bad against them. For instance, he killed out the Bechayrim, just like the Mitzrim killed out all the children of Klal Yisrael. He drowned them in the Yam, which was Kemida Keneged Miga, killed the Bechoros, and so on. Ubezeh horeg duloso al kol Elohim. So he explains that in Mida Keneged Mida, it tells me that whereas all gods are believed by their worshippers to have powers, specific powers, certain powers, and that's who they are, that's what they are. The idea of Mida Keneged Mida requires that you be master of all of it, that you be able to pay back in whatever Mida you are paid with. That's something only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do. So by seeing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to pay back the Bechoros and the Yam and everything else, that was a certain awareness of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his powers and so on. That's what the Sforna says. I wanted to add something of my own, another Knech in the Mida Keneged Mida. When I punish someone, when I get even with somebody, get back at somebody, so the usual motive is that I myself was hurt, damaged, somehow upset by the other person, and therefore I am, and therefore I'm trying to get back with him, even with him. But if the, and that is sort of the motive of all gods. All gods, the way the idol worshippers perceive them, are, let's call them humans of some sort. They're human-like entities. They've got feelings. They've got a sense of dignity, honor, holy above. And when you mess with a god, he gets back at you. So you get back at somebody in the way that's best for you. And, you know, if he hits you, but you're better at pickpocketing him, so you'll pickpocket him and, you know, take his wallet as a retribution for him punching you, or vice versa. If he took your wallet and you're better at walloping him, you'll hit him. The Mida Keneged Mida, the purpose of Mida Keneged Mida is to rectify, to rehabilitate, to educate, to sort of, it's focused on the person doing it. You've done X, let me show you what it feels like to have X done to you, and you will have a different perception of things. So that's why the Mida Keneged Mida was something that distinguished Elikus from Avodah Zarah. Okay, the next one is Rabbeinu Bechaya. It says that that Aaron and everyone came to break bread with Yisro. Now, what's the significance of having a Suda? I mean, as a story, he came to visit and they made supper for him. Well, what's the point over here? So he says, Im Chayis Moshe Lakim Lefnei Mishkan Lakim was Amud Anan Amud Eish. So the first thing Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar is pointing out, the Pasuk says they had a Su'uda in the presence of, next to the Amud On and Amud Eish, which is where it was Asherah Sashchina. So he explains, Usuda Zu Asol Kod Yisro Shnez Gaya B'Mila Tvil B'Mayim K'dina Ger Aval Asherah Sashchina. It was a Su'uda that was done L'Kavod Yisroi, who became a Ger.
And
v'tishol of Ruach HaKodesh. There was one reason for the Suda, and that was so that people should feel good and pleasant to be zochet to Ruach HaKodesh. L'fisha kochos ha-nefesh nikshorim b'kochos ha-guf. Because the kochos ha-nefesh are tied to kochos ha-guf. Ubis oro kochos ha-guf, az yizchas kochos ha-nefesh, is yishicham l'v'ochel. So as a person is in a better mood, as a person feels good because of the physical environment and ambience, so too is he able to have Ruach HaKodesh on him. It's similar to the idea that even though the mind and the brain are not the same, and the mind is where the person's thinking, feeling, sensing takes place, but if the brain is in any way impaired, damaged, curtailed, or whatever it is, the mind doesn't work. If the brain is perfectly functioning, the mind may or may not work. But without the brain, there's no mind. The same thing if a person is hungry, starved, cold, depressed, then there is no Ruach HaKodesh on him. There's no Nevuah on him. So, but when you eat a Suda's mitzvah, and a person feels good about it, and I put the key words as leze inyan sheyichavin alav ha'ochel. In other words, if the meal is for that reason, and let's give a simple example, a chasana, the setting of a chasana enhances the sense of simcha of the chasana kala, because they're doing it berov am and bepe'er and behidur and so on and so forth. That's what they're doing. And this is why they had a fiddle. The Nevi'im had a fiddle to help them come in the mood. There's a famous saying by Chassidim. They ask Chassidim, if you're the Simcha because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah and so on, why do you need to drink, whiskey? So the marshal used is, sometimes you have a very good wagon, and it's really, really a high-quality wagon, but you need to grease the wheels to get it to move. So the grease is not the car that moves the wagon. The horses do it, and the wagon being well-built, but you need something to grease the wheels. So the muscle is kind of, it's not that you're singing because you're drunk, but you sort of need to grease the wheels a little bit. I want to point out the opposite is also true. For instance, Shabbos, when a person is eaten well and the food is good and plentiful, it puts him in a good mood and he's capable of attaining more ruchnias. But if the purpose is to attain more ruchnias, if a person overeats, overindulges, that also tends to blunt the ability to partake in ruchnias. Anyone who's had a little bit over too much chol knows that the next 3 hours will not be spent in mitzvahs. So a person needs to balance it. Same thing with chasana. There is a certain level which increases the ability to be sameach and chasan kala, and then at some point where it becomes all about the cater and the bar and the orchestra, and it's the focus is taken away from chasan kala. So it is important. Suda's mitzvah is a very important piece of the puzzle. A person dresses Shabbos day, a person when the physical conditions are good, they enhance the ruchnius, but a person needs to understand there is a too much also. Okay, the next pasuk is where Yisro told Moshe Rabbeinu to select Dayanim, and he says you shall find Anshi Chayil, Yerli Kim, Anshi Emes, Anivetz, and so on and so forth. So he says the Rabbeinu Bechaya points out about this. He says, take a look how much the midas are important, because the tzaddikim, the neviim, they were never praised for their Torah. Noach, Avram, Yaakov, you never find The Torah says, "B'Torah Chochma Tmuna V'Das K'M'Torah Midos." You never find by them that the Torah says, "Look how bright they were, how smart they were, how knowledgeable they were." It says they were good people. Noach was Ishtarik Tom, Avraham was Eitomim, Yaakov Ishtam, and so on. So it says, "V'Chol Z'Lahir Is Ke'Ein Ika Chochma L'Yosha Midos." The main Chochma is Yosha Midos. Kishem She'Ein Ha'Ilon Ikar Elapri. So just like a tree is there for its fruit, the fruit of Chachma is Yesh Amidus. And that's why if you take a look over here, the things that we want, he didn't say pick the smartest, wisest people, but he said, Anshe Chal Yireh Lekim, Anshe Emes Sari Betza. V'chein Dosh Azal Seem Tov Olay Seem Chol Ondeh Lo Nehma El Par Seem. I want to add a piece about this. And so what is the, I mean, there's a piece here that's missing. So is being Am HaAretz fine? The answer is, it says, Lo Buri Recheit Lo Am HaAretz Chasid. Understanding, doing what's right, there are two things. One is, I need to have the inclination to do what's right, and I need to struggle with my personal biases that are pushing me away from doing right. That's one piece of the puzzle. The second piece of the puzzle is, I need to understand right from wrong. It's something that a person is not, we think it automatically that, yeah, doing right is just a question of doing what I want to do and what I should do, and that's that. But that's not the whole picture of it. It's not simple at all to know what's right. Life is complex, and in every situation, it's like a Rav once said, he's done thousands of dinteiras in his life. He's never met a dintera where one side gets up and says, I'm a Rasha Marusha, but I'd like the money anyway. People are very, very convinced how right they are. Understanding and knowing, you can't be a good person if you don't understand. But the knowing and understanding is in order to implement that which is right. The person who can write a brilliant legal text but is a mushkas himself is not a praiseworthy person because he's not a good person. So when you're looking to pick for people that are passive, that they can be magical, so you want people that are anshe emes, son of bets, and so on and so forth. Okay, the next stickle is Rabbeinu Bechai also. And it says that Koisem al Beis Yaakov v'sagim Yisrael. So Chazal say Beis Yaakov the Noshim, and you're supposed to say it to them softly, and teach them and so on and so forth. And he explains that you have to first teach the women because you want to bring them into Torah and so on. Then he says Va'od Sha'isha Taiva Hisiba L'Taira. The cause for Taira is a good woman. You know, in the family dynamics, a woman with the right attitude is really what causes the children to learn. She's the one that can draw a child to Beis Medrash. Lefishi mitzuya bebayis, she's home. She has a very warm relationship with him. So that when he's young, he's drawn to learning. Vigam kiyas hasimeno. In other words, a person in a relationship with another person, you incorporate your values in the relationship. So for instance, if the mother, who is a figure of love and warmth and care to a child, carries at it her heart the values of Torah, the child will absorb it together with the warmth and the love and so on and so forth. And that has a profound impact on a child. If the mother's love is that the child learn and be good, and the mother's love is the child, there's sort of a transition of the values onto the love itself. And that's the most, and that draws the child to it. Parenthetically, it's also the same about a mechanech. if a mechanech has warm feelings toward the Talmud and good feelings toward the Talmud, then his values become part of it, and the child wants to do those things. And that's why he says, well, so the woman is critical piece. The father is sort of an authority figure. He says, this is right, this is wrong, and the child might believe it, and the child, you know, it's something the child might feel is right, but to be drawn to something needs to affect a much deeper layer of himself, and that's the Av and so on, and that's what the mother does. Well, the kach ruya ha'ishal ispal l'shem yisbach b'shash adlok z'aneh shal Shabbos. She mutzvah metelosov, she yitin l'ashem bani mirzatar. And this is why it is extremely appropriate that a woman, when she's lighting licht, which is her mitzvah, she be mispal for children that will light in Torah. And this is the marker actually for the tefillah that we say in the before licht bench for a woman. Ka tefillah yis nishmas ha'si mitzvah. When a person does a mitzvah, that's an appropriate time to be mispalel. Or b'schus ne'er Shabbos who are tiska lebanim balatera nekros or Hashem k'nei mitzvah Torah or. V'chein darsha azal chazal darshan haiman derogel b'shragi. A person that lights licht regularly, haven lebanim chacham will have children b'chachamim. So, since this is the woman's mitzvah, and this is the time when she's doing a mitzvah and that has in itself a remnant of Torah, it's the most appropriate time to daven for the child to be zeicha to Torah. I once heard a remark about this chazal, which I thought was very, very true. The Gemara in Shabbos says, demand the rogel b'shragel v'chom. If a person is used to, if a person is consistently lights licht, he has children v'chom, if he does this, that. So the person asked, well, it is a very, very beautiful mitzvah to light licht and so on and so forth, but it doesn't seem to be such a significant, phenomenal mitzvah, or so difficult mitzvah that the schar should be so great. What's the kilo, the midik neged mid over here? The person said people put the emphasis on the wrong part of the Chamayim Chazal. The right place to put the emphasis is Haiman derogel b'shragi. Children pick up the things that are really part and parcel of what you do, the things you do occasionally. If a person makes a big production, Mayim Achronim, when it's Shabbos and I guess there, but otherwise he skims on it, kid's not going to pick up Mayim Achronim, he gets the picture. If somebody learns occasionally, makes a big deal out of it, and tells the kid that one of learning, but his own learning is sporadic, it doesn't make the impression. What the child picks up are the things that are extremely regular, the things that are consistent, and that's why the Er Chazal say even the mitzvah of Neiris, which is not a big mitzvah, ain't over very expensive or anything, but Haiman derogel b'shragi, if it's something that is habitual and it's consistent, then it has its hashpah on the kids. Okay, The next piece is also Rebbe Bechaya, and it says it's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's introduction to Kal Yisrael. He says, "Atem Reisa Shis Mitzrayim, you've seen what did Mitzrayim, Vesasef Amakaf Nishon Vesonlay, and I brought you here on the wings of the eagle, and you know I carried you on the wings of the eagle and brought you here." Now, Lechura, this is not. I mean, it should have started, maybe I saved you and so on, and now I'm giving you the Torah. You saw what I did to Mitzrayim. Why is that in the introduction to what's coming now, which is a charge to be from Lechas Karnim, Begay Kodesh, and so on? So the Rebbe Chaya says, Atein says to Mitzrayim, Tchilas divesh lichusay birlam in hashkocha, sheikah Torah. He starts with saying, you see there is hashkocha in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about the relationship between Klal Yisrael, between mitzvahs and averus, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu follows the world, and there's hashkacha in giving schar and onus and so on. Ki kasha ya'aver Kadosh Baruch Hu uma b'avaynam, ve'at uma s'chasus husam. When Kadosh Baruch Hu saves one, when Kadosh Baruch Hu destroys a nation because averus they did, and he saves another nation because of schus. This is one of the strong voices of Hashkocha and part of Eretz Yisrael. Al kein omar shasisa mitzrayim shavisa makslim vavatisim b'yam v'atim yisuzayis b'neichem v'eschem v'itzaltim al makslim mitzrayim b'yam. The Rechaya says, Hashkocha protis, in the sense of mida k'neged mida, and all that whole, the introduction to Torah is that part of the understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the world in terms of good and bad, and there's feedback, and there's Hashkocha, and so on and so forth. This is a fundamental link between believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore I should be doing what the Torah wants me to do. Without that link of Hashkocha, okay, one issue is, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu exist? Is he all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, and so on and so forth? And the answer to all the above is yes. And that's it. You know, Torah is Torah, and they take it or leave it. He says, well, this omnipotent, omniscient God is the world. Everything about the world is involved in God, and therefore we now have a Torah to guide you and so on. Next one is the pasuk Va'atem Tiyu Melechas Karnim V'Gol Kadosh V'Yisrael Nisgulu Mikol Ha'Amim. So it's a charge on Klal Yisrael, and we're going to see this. This is a Sfarnu. Now I want to explain Nekuda here, which gets lost sometimes in our understanding of the big picture. How do we relate to Ummas Ha'olam? For a large percentage of our Golus, our relationship to Ummas Ha'olam has been at the other side of a pitchfork, and we were busy dodging the bullets. There was no question how to relate to the Inquisition, to Khmelnytsky, and to the pogroms, and to the Tsar, it was basically what we saw was the rishis of the Musolim and the Crusades. We saw the badness. That's one. A second type of relationship has been that Ummas Ha'olam were capable of tremendous tumah and coarseness, and we could be dragged along, and it was the business of the Mochichim Klal Yisrael, the Madim Klal Yisrael, to point out how Maisa Knanim and Maisa Mitzrayim and Maisa Paris and Maisa Berlin and Maisa New York and all these places, how terrible it is, how shuffle it is, how low it is, and so on and so forth. Also true. But there's a piece that has really come up. You can best see it if you look at writings of somebody like Samson Fall Hirsch. Samson Fall Hirsch's vision is as follows. Mina Nushi, humankind, is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in the Bria. Humankind is divine. It has in itself the ability to rise to great heights. Unfortunately, it has been thwarted from doing so with the Chet of Eitz Hadas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael to develop into the real Tzura of Adam and to be a shining example for Ummas Ha'olam to realize the Tikkun as well. It's a view which incorporates the world's entirety. On the one hand, intellectually it's a much more satisfying perspective. It's very hard to say that 9 billion people are garbage and million is the important, is the only part of the world. It says b'tzolam kim chaviv other b'tzolam kim and so on. So the understanding is yes, Ummas Ha'olam has a lot of klipas to it, a lot of vra to it, but ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tikkun is for the world, and Klal Yisrael's meant to herald that. They're meant to spearhead the drive to perfection. They're meant to be paradigms, etc. Sfarnu, which is, and again, it seems to have occurred in nations where Klal Yisrael enjoyed relative prosperity, such as Italy, such as Spain in the golden era. That was the attitude of many. Italy, which even though they had their restrictions on Jews, but Jews were highly prized. they were intellectuals, they mixed and they taught at universities, Galachim went by Jews, Jerusalem by Galachim. Italy was something that was very, very unique in terms of its relationship between the Jews and the Goyim. So Sfarno, who's Italian, would have it. And Sham Shapol Hirsch in Germany, which where the Jews were relatively welcomed members in a society that was enlightened and had things of beauty to offer, their perspective had that connection, and you see it. So he says, the Yisrael school of Kav, you should be the treasure, Afal Pisha Kol Haminah Nushi Yokatsli, we call yes and so. Even though all of humanity is precious to me, Kihula Vada Mechuvim Behem, what I could probably want out of the world is humanity. In that special category, you command a special subset. What's going to set you aside is lehavin ulehayres lechol min anushi likay kol meshem Hashem ad v'shechem echad, to teach and explain to all of mankind that is supposed to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Moshe'in Yisrael as lover, and to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with Kal Yisrael, Ka'omer V'atem Karan Hashem Tikoreu Ka'omer Kivitzin Teit Yisrael. So we are supposed to be that vanguard of humanity to preach that and so on and so forth.
Ready?
Yes.
When the Sfora was Lahavin with a Horus,
okay, let's well, I want to talk about it. Let's go to the next piece also. It's a small line. It says, Kili Kol Ha'aretz. And so he explains at the end of it, Vahevdol Beinechem Bepochet V'yesehu. In other words, all of humanity, and especially, and all of the good of humanity, is precious in God's eyes. Vahev Beinechem Bepochet V'yesehu, it's a question of degree. Ki omnom li kol aretz chasidim v'sa'ilam yukarant v'yisafik. But Klal Yisrael has a much more intense chasidus, and so on and so forth. Yes. So, what did you want to ask about the?
Is this the Lahav and the Horus? Yes.
Okay. So let's explain. I guess what is B'nai Mesoris. The obviously, Klal Yisrael has never engaged in open in proselytizing. We're supposed to discourage a proselyte, except the only one who's been kind of into these things has been Chabad, and it's raised a lot of eyebrows about the Zayin Mitzvahs and what's our job to teach so on and so forth. My feeling is as follows. The Shem Shmuel asks, it says that the purpose of Klal Yisrael was supposed to go to Mitzrayim to bring out the Netzaitzes HaKadoshes. So then it says, because of Averus HaKlal Yisrael, but my Eda and this and that, Asar Gayim Tamech HaChomim. So if the purpose to go to Mitzrayim to Golos was to bring out the Tzitzis HaKadoshes, so why does it say that it was because of Averis? So the Shem Shmuel says, had Klal Yisrael been perfect, the Nitzotzos would have come running to them. They would have drawn the Torah from the Bria automatically. The only reason we had to be sent there is because we were far less than perfect. Imagine if Klal Yisrael was the way it should be. And you know that if a Jew gives a word, he keeps the word. You know that the Jew is in an office with women, he doesn't flirt with them, he keeps his distance and draws a very sharp line between himself and where he shouldn't go. If you see a Jew and you know that he's always, his language is soft, He never loses his temper, mm-hmm. and he's, you know, toiv, then anyone who's toiv would be enchanted by it and would be drawn to it. The best lahav l'horis to Musa Olam is not to preach to them; it's rather to draw them by who we are and what we are. We're supposed to be examples, and people who see it. It's sometimes remarkable that someone just gave me a book recently. There was a woman, she and her husband are both Christian theologians. They both teach at university. They moved from somewhere in Texas, from the Midwest, I think. They moved to Scranton, Pennsylvania. They were both teaching at the University of Scranton. they bought a house smack in the middle of the Frum community there. I mean, this is people out of the West. And it's a remarkable book. She's enthralled. She's been living there for years. She's enthralled with the beauty of the community, the way of life. Her bottom line at the end is that she feels, obviously, Christianity is right, but if Christians were as frum about the Christianity and took it as seriously as Jews take the Judaism, it would be a real living religion. But you see the ability to see the tov that sort of shines out is really what draws people. I just want to share this anecdote about something similar. My mechutn was once sitting on a train on Long Island Railroad between Long Island and Manhattan, and there was a 20-year-old girl who was sitting there, and two missionaries came over and started hacking her a cup. And he got very tense, like, would she know what to answer, and this, and she's going to lose herself, and she's going to be convinced. I don't know, he was sitting very tense. And they gave a whole spiel, and she turns to them and she says, listen, fellas, what does it say about your religion that I really don't need to have you approve my religion, and you are desperate for me to approve your religion? What does it say about what you think about your religion or I think about my religion? If you're desperately trying to sell yours to me, and I couldn't care less if you took mine. And what like made her thumbs up, like you hit these businessmen, so this hit exactly home. Like when somebody's desperately trying to sell you some product because it's the most fantastic product in the world, you're very suspicious. The guy you want to buy from, you come running to him to buy it from. Yes, we haven't. And the truth is, in places like Italy, where as far as it comes from, there was teaching, actually. Jews actually taught at the university. There's a whole series. There's a Bruno de la Maggio, I think his name was, wrote a whole series of books about Jew-Goy relationships. It was a topic that in Italy in those years was really, really it was a topic, because the Jews and the Goyim, the intellectual Jews and Goyim, had a lot of kirvan. There was a lot of overlapping. A lot of the Goyish priests came to learn Hebrew by the Jews. A lot of the Jews studied by Christians, taught by Christians. It was a very, very unusual situation. Something that didn't exist in any of the Eastern European countries, where they basically were, the Goyim were barbarians, and their relationship with the Jews was they're called horrendous. So it wasn't such an issue. Nobody queried about it. But this was something that actually was an issue that they with. Okay, let's hold it here. Thank you.